Welcome to North 2, a production of Peaked FM. I'm your host, Corey Luna. Along with Richard Hogben, today I speak with Megan McDuffie, an award-winning composer in video game soundtracks, movie soundtracks, and an amazing performer of dark wave synthesizers. Recently, Megan McDuffie put out an album of cover songs of some of her favorite hits from the 90s. Some are not entirely all 90s, but one of my favorites is a wonderful cover of Typo Negative. We get into her production style. We get into creating a new studio space, which is hopefully done soon for her. And this is just a wonderful conversation. We find out a little bit more about the similarities that we have in common, surprisingly. So cool. Please enjoy this interview with Megan McDuffie. Megan, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me.
Absolutely. Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. So you've got an album coming up very soon. It's a synthwave forwards album. And I've been noticing a lot of really cool reels that you've been doing on Instagram where you've been doing very cool synthwave covers of not entirely 90s music, but mostly from what I've been hearing. One track, of course, that really caught my ear was from Typo Negative, which is kind of dear to my heart. It's one of those bands that I got into back in the late 90s. And anything in any project with Peter Steele was always cool. I was curious about this upcoming album. Will you be having any cover songs on that album?
The entire album is covers. Yeah. What started as a little experiment for social media last July, so just over a year ago, kind of turned into its own beast. I didn't realize just how well they would do, how positive the responses would be to recreating songs from my youth. My demographics youth as well, apparently. So people have been clamoring for me to put them into a collection. So yeah, I have a covers album, specifically like kind of dark, moody, synthwave, dark wave-ish coming out very soon. The full thing comes out on August 22nd. I don't know when this will go live, but soon at this moment.
We'll probably end up releasing this in probably September, I believe so.
Okay. Yeah. Then check out the album because it'll be out.
Very cool. I did check out your Patreon account. I saw that, you know, there is a bit more that you do release on there, or like maybe like have a bit more information here and there. So I don't want to, you know, spoil too much, of course, because I want to respect that.
Yeah, people don't quite know yet what songs are going to be on this collection because I've released several of them as singles so far, but there are two kind of mystery tracks that nobody knows yet what they're going to be. So that'll be the surprise.
Cool. Very cool. And you and I had to reschedule a little bit in anticipation of doing this interview, and you've been going under some construction with your studio. I was curious, how's that going?
Oh man, it's been quite a process. I feel like, oh yeah, for sure. Like buying our house was easier than renovating one single room. I'm not joking either. So we have a pretty sizable garage that we have been using since we moved in about 5 years ago for basically just project space and storage. We don't park our cars in there. And that left us shy a guest room, which would be really nice to have. So this new plan that we've been in the middle of is this current studio. This is basically the only wall that's still intact right now. You can't see all the craziness over there. We're punching a hole in this wall to have a doorway into what was the garage, and the garage will be my new studio space and kind of also just an amazing like dance gym recording studio area. And I'm very excited about it. But yeah, there's like crazy amounts of coordination that's been happening for the past 5 weeks now. Plus, we had to clear out the garage over the course of like a year to get it ready for people to basically demolish it and make it part of the house. It's been crazy.
Growing up doing construction, I understand entirely how complicated it is. It's a lot.
It's wild. I never thought, I was like, it's a garage. It's got walls. Like, he just slaps some paint on it and slaps some floor down. You're good. But no, it's a whole thing. It's like 20 inspections and trying to meet insulation requirements and coordinating teams of specialists. And I never want to do this again, but I'm super, super happy that we're doing it now. getting it going, and it's almost done. I'd say we're like 2 to 3 weeks out.
That's really great.
Yeah, can't wait.
How much is dance part of your life?
It's a pretty sizable chunk. I have been pole dancing at least 2 to 3 times a week for 6 years now.
Wow.
So yeah, it's once I found that hobby, I was hooked from the very first class. It's amazing. It's the best workout I've ever had. It's the most fun I've ever had while doing exercise. Like, it doesn't feel like a chore. So it's great. I get to make friends and forget everything else that's happening in life. I can just focus on choreography.
Oh, that's really nice.
It is nice.
Yeah, I've met I've met some people out here in San Francisco who are part of the pole dancing community. One person in particular, Dawn Davies, Dawn Kern, and I met her actually through a meetup. Like, she and her partner were doing like a photo shoot on Ocean Beach back in 2019.
Cool.
With other pole dancer performers that she knew from her community. And we ended up staying in contact, and I ended up finding out that she's also a singer. So she does, here in San Francisco, she does pole dancing and she does singing.
Nice.
I was like, this is amazing. So very cool. I actually had her over earlier this year to record some audio with me. So I've got some great samples of her doing some nice vocal arrangements, and I had her actually sing on a track of mine earlier this year.
Right on. Yeah, it's wonderful to have such a creative network of friends and colleagues.
Yeah, that's really cool. And so let's see here. And my book, as I did mention earlier, my brothers are both fans of your music, also mostly probably from River City Girls, of course.
Yeah.
I asked my brothers, do you have any questions for Megan McDuffie since you're fans? And one of my brothers was curious if you've ever gotten the opportunity or would take the opportunity to score a first-person shooter, and how would you approach that?
Okay, twofold question. I have not had the chance yet, but I would absolutely take the opportunity if it presented itself to me, 100%. That would be so much fun, especially if it was a shooter with a twist like Tokyo Ghostwire or Ghostwire Tokyo. It's one of my favorites, and it's basically a shooter format, but instead of guns, you're using magic, which to me is far more appealing because I love fantasy stuff. But yeah, how would I approach that? I mean, as always, it would depend on what the client wanted and the vision they had for the soundscape and sort of the vibe that they wanted for the music, and go from there. However it came to be.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
So in anticipation of your upcoming album, I was listening to Inner Demons and then also checking out Crimson Legacy. And I was curious about your reflection between the emotions and the production of the current release and how you are maybe approaching your new album that might be different from your previous releases?
Yeah. Well, there's obviously the constraint of it being, they being cover songs. I have somebody else's lyrics to work with, and I have someone else's melodies and chord progressions to work with. So it's kind of been an interesting challenge to inject myself into those songs, I guess, by way of slowing them down, maybe changing some of the chords just slightly. Instrumentation choice has been a big factor. Usually, you know, taking a rock song and then boiling it down to like super cool synth bass lines and really dreamy ambient pads and sparkly things like that. I'd say that's how I've put myself into it. Also just vocal delivery, because I love dark, quiet, vibey, nighttime, you know, like sultry, spooky music. So, yeah, I think it was just a really fun creative challenge. So, that's the only way it differs, but you can definitely hear myself in every single one of these tracks.
Very cool. And again, I'm really looking forward to it. From what I've heard, of course, on Instagram from your reels, you know, it's got the vibes, and every time I hear it's so good.
No, I'm really, thank you so much.
Of course, I'm really looking forward to it.
Awesome. Me too. I'm excited to get it out there, get it working for me, especially since it was not really a project that I ever anticipated embarking on. So it'd be great to just be like, okay, you asked for it. Here it is. I did it.
Yeah, that's really great that you've gotten such a positive response, you know, from social media to encourage you to make this full cover album on like dark synthwave.
Yeah, never thought this would happen. It's just the universe is funny like that. I just happened to find the right thing, a little something magic sauce that popped off on Instagram, and then it's kind of snowballed from there. It's been great.
Very cool. Are there any? Obviously, I'm not going to ask like what tracks are on there, but I was curious about: are there other tracks that you have thought about covering that are not on the album?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've put out a lot of reels on Instagram, or, you know, posted to YouTube shorts that didn't make the cut, I guess, for the album, just simply because I didn't feel like people were as enthusiastic about them, or the subset of people that maybe the algorithm put it out to was smaller. So I front loaded the ones on the album that got the most response from people. But yeah, like I'm trying to think of any in particular that I really kind of wanted to develop, but didn't. Primarily, Dreams in Digital from Orgy. I think that one would have been really fun to tackle. And potentially, Bullet with Butterfly Wings from Smashing Pumpkins.
Really?
Those two. Yeah. Yeah. I think those two would be really, really fun to work on. And I may still at some point. We'll see. They just didn't make this album.
Fair, fair. Smashing Pumpkins, they're having such a new resurgence right now with, you know, Billy Corgan doing some tours right now, of course. And another musician that I've been following since before this happened, Kiki Wong, who is now the main guitarist for tours. I was already following her before she started working with Billy Corgan, and then all of a sudden she blew up, and which is great. You know, I'm really happy for her. That's fantastic. So like every time I see her posting, it's like she's on tour doing Smashing Pumpkins. There she is with Billy Corgan. That's really cool. And
that's awesome.
And, you know, Rich and I, we went to NAMM back in January. And of course, it's like, you know, we were there to interview everybody there, part of the synthesizer community. But, you know, 99% of going to NAMM, of course, is like guitars. And I saw Kiki Wong had a booth of like, she was going to appear and do some, you know, and sign some posters or something. So I had to like hang out for a minute to like see her like appear. And I got a couple photos of her just on stage before we ran off to go do something else. But again, like Smashing Pumpkins having such a resurgence right now. Like I was thinking more people would be being more nostalgic for that song.
But yeah, it was one that did fairly well, just not as well. It was like 12th out of the 11 that I wanted for the album. You know what I mean? Like it was just barely, just barely there. That's so cool about Kiki. I was only familiar with her because she actually commented on my Smashing Pumpkins slice that I posted on my reel. And she was like, this is so cool. And I was like, holy shit, this is the guitarist for Smashing Pumpkins commenting on this cover I did. That's so wild to me.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's great. I was very just like, whoa.
That must have been such a cool moment. It's always awesome when you get someone that maybe you of that caliber or that you look up to and they make a comment on your social media. It just kind of makes your day.
Yeah, for sure. I was blown away. It was really, really cool.
So I was also curious about what other, okay, I'm not asking about like what else is on the album, but more of what other bands and albums have really resonated with you, like say from the 90s that have inspired you to perform?
Well, I've got a lot from the 80s. I'm trying to think of 90s albums in particular. I have been a really big Depeche Mode fan pretty much since I was maybe 14. So they're a huge influence of mine. And their album Ultra from, I forget, 90 something. It's definitely a 90s album.
I want to say 99, but I'm not too sure.
Yeah, it's right on the line for the millennium, but great album. Super grimy. Still got that quintessential Depeche Mode, like brooding quality to it. That's a favorite of mine for sure, as are many of their albums, but that one in particular, even though I know you asked about 90s specifically, like that's still just a great album. I was really, a lot of them are like early 2000s, the ones that are popping into my head, or 80s. Like there's trying to think of 90s specifically. What was I obsessed with? Oh, I got one for you. Ace of Base, The Sign.
Yeah, that was
such a classic album. I loved that one so much, for sure. Yep.
It's a really good one.
Yep. It's a great one.
Yeah. And that was
I also did a fair amount of listening to No Doubt.
Oh, No Doubt.
Yeah.
Gwen Stefani.
So good.
Yeah. And that was, you know, that was such a breakout album for them. Like that Tragic Kingdom.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That was just brilliant.
Huge. And yeah.
And like really for Gwen Stefani being the, you know, really the front of that band and the way that that band really pushed the envelope for what they were doing. This made such an impact.
Yeah. Yeah. 90s had some fantastic music. I've also been a huge Beck fan basically since middle school as well. So Odelay is like in my top 10 albums of all time. So killer.
Yeah. Beck's always really good.
Yeah, he's always super, every album has a unique flavor to it too, but it all consistently sounds like him. It's kind of a magic talent of his to like have such a different style for every release, but always sound like Beck. I admire that about him.
Yeah, me too. It's really fascinating for him to be able to have that kind of caliber and be able to go from any genre he wants to. You know, it's still Beck.
Yeah, exactly. It's very cool.
I've always been impressed by his the way that he just can make lyrics and remember.
Yeah, yeah, his lyrical style is very unique to him. I feel like nobody makes nonsense sound quite so good.
That's a great way to say it. That's really good. God, there's so many good albums.
Yeah.
Depeche Mode's Violator, 1990, probably my favorite for Depeche Mode.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so, that's like their quintessential album.
Yeah.
I think
like that dark broodingness, and like they really like were able to take everything they did from the 80s and just kind of create this amazing piece of music that just really captured everything and really brought it together.
It's so good.
That's so cool.
Yep, for sure.
Do you collect any synthesizers, or are you mostly using VSTs?
I'm mostly in the box just based on space limitations, but I am planning on acquiring some more analog gear when the new space is done, because we will have 420 square feet of extra space to play with, which is very exciting. I have in this giant pile of nonsense over here, there's a Roland Juno 6, which is super tasty. And then I recently acquired a sequential. I think it is sequential. It's a Pro 3.
Yeah, that's sequential circuits.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Actually, I was so jazzed to see when I opened the pamphlet that came with the synthesizer that one of my college professors worked on it. I was like,
what?
I know. Isn't that wild?
That's awesome.
Yeah. Super cool.
Who was your college professor? Yeah.
I did the electronic music minor at UC Santa Cruz. And the professor I had was Jerry Basserman. And he's in the liner notes for the Pro 3.
That's so cool.
It's like, what? Okay. That's awesome.
That's great.
Yeah. He was a fun teacher, actually. I liked his class.
Did you ever get a chance to check out the Sequential Circuits headquarters here in San Francisco?
No, I have not.
Well, next time you and your husband are in San Francisco, I highly recommend booking a tour. They're free. You just email them and pick a date. It's not a big office, but what's really cool is I just took myself over there back in 2017, and there's basically like you got to see Dave Smith's office. He's got some synths in, now he's passed, but he had a bunch of synths in his office, plus his like collection of tequila, and and then there was also the synthesizer room that had like the lineup of all this, of not everything, but like a lot of the synthesizers that that he and his team have designed since the 70s. So you've got, and basically
Brad.
And the guy just kind of said, okay, I'm just gonna leave you alone. So for like 45 minutes, I was by myself just playing with whatever I wanted to, and they're out of their collection.
That's so fun.
It was fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then at the end, the guy's like, all right, now you get to take home one of these signature shot glasses, which is just, so I got the Rev 2 shot glass.
Nice. Yeah. Didn't snag any tequila from there to go with it.
Dave Smith wasn't there that day, so I wasn't going to impose.
Yeah. Just swipe a bottle on your way out.
Well, that's cool. The Pro 3, that's so cool. And any other?
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, any of the Pros are great. Like I was always a big fan of the Pro 1, even because it's such a good good synthesizer for bass lines. That's one of the things I really enjoyed from it.
Nice. I have not played with a 1. This is my first Pro of their gear. Actually, this is my first Sequential Circuits unit at all. And I want to play with it more. Usually I don't get a chance because of the deadlines, you know, it's like, I'm so much faster with plugins because I know where everything is and I have some templates. So I should really make more time to just explore because what I have played of it, it sounds gnarly and great.
I hope you do get a chance to play with it more because I think you might find yourself, you might find yourself in a rabbit hole of acquiring more synthesizers.
Oh, yes.
Playing them more and more. As you can see, there's all kinds of lights going on behind my head, and that's all Eurorack still is going on.
Very good. I was going to ask if that was like, modular stuff going on back there.
Yep. There's a make noise rack, and then there's a 2HP lunchbox right below it that are all hooked up together.
Nice.
Have you ever gotten into modular?
I haven't. I've played with modular stuff back in college when I was doing the electronic music program because they had a whole room full of fun stuff. But I don't have any here currently, so they are few and far between for me, but always fun.
Well, if you ever get curious, I would definitely recommend actually reaching out to Tim Held of Podjetta Modcast, who's in not Seattle exactly. Like, he used to be in Seattle, but now he's in a different city. I forget the other city out there. But he's a huge modular guy, so I would definitely recommend chatting with him. I'm sure he could probably just show you a bunch of gear and probably have a good time just patching with him.
For sure. Yeah, I will do that.
Yeah, he's really fun. But okay, so sorry, I'm just grab my notes for a sec.
Yeah, no problem. Grab some water.
I was curious, are there any, as if you're allowed to speak a bit, of course, are there any upcoming, besides the album coming out next, are there any other scores you're working on that you might be able to, that are in progress?
Yes. I have been working on the soundtrack for Streets of Rogue 2. It's an indie video game. The first one had kind of a crazy cult success, and the developer's been working on the sequel for probably more than 2 years, but I was brought in about a year and a half ago. So I've been working steadily on that. He is releasing the game this year, so things are wrapping up. As far as I know, he's releasing this year. He keeps kind of extending it because, you know, solo developer. It's a lot of work. Yeah, that one should be coming out pretty soon. I've done at least an hour's worth of music for that over the past couple years, just chipping away. So yeah, that one's very exciting. Aside from the cover album, I have also been working on an album of originals. I think you may have heard Leviathan. That is the sort of tone of the new album, that plus kind of the lower tempo vibey stuff from the covers album. But I want to take those two feelings and do a bunch of originals in that style. So working on that, chipping away. And yeah, just like lots of little incidental things, like track of mine got licensed for a video game trailer, and I did a custom song with vocals for a different video game trailer, but also an indie film, like a really campy, quirky B-movie sci-fi film that's looks ridiculous, but they wanted this like really serious song to really contrast the campiness of it. So that should be interesting to see.
that sounds like a good project.
Yeah, that was fun.
I was curious about, I was exploring your website and going through your all the albums you've put out over the years, between not just, you know, your personal stuff, but also the video game work. And my eye kept on going to your logo. It's such a good logo. I was curious, did you design that? Did you have someone else design that? It's so cool.
Thank you. I love my logo. I don't think I'll ever need another one. And it's the first one, first and only one I think I'll ever have. A colleague of mine named Dion, who lives, at least he used to, in Alberta, Canada. Friend of mine, he's a professional graphic designer. And I met him through music. He is a vocalist as well, but his day job is graphics. And we basically met through a mutual friend when I was up there shooting a music video for a different thing. And yeah, he designed that for me. I told him I wanted something both like sci-fi looking, but like my initials, and also could be sort of a cult, like a rune, something ancient. So he nailed it.
Yeah. Yeah. He really did. Yeah. Every time I'm going through your website, like, it always catches my eye. It's such a good logo.
No, yeah. Really good. Very fond of it.
And also curious, so on quite a bit of the albums you've put out for video games, you are singing on a lot of those. Not all of them, but you know, quite a bit, which I was really fascinated by. But one, you're a very good singer. And curious of like, how are you able to get so much great singing on all of these scores? I was curious, like, is that something that you're coming up with, or is it something maybe a collaboration of discussion with the developers?
Okay. Yeah, I think, well, River City Girls, the first one, really set that in motion, because prior to that, nobody had hired me for vocals specifically on a video game soundtrack. It lent itself to that because there's a character in the game who is a rock star, and you see her posters all over various levels of the city. And at a certain point, you fight her as a boss. So they Way Forward, the development company, team, studio, whatever you want to call them, had the bright idea. They're like, hey, you sing, right? We love, you know, we've heard your vocals. Would you be willing to kind of be the singing voice of this character as almost like a subconscious leading you to this boss fight? So that when you get to this boss fight, you're like, oh, I've been hearing this character's music the whole time. So it was just this sort of clever brainstorming that we did. And from that point on, since that game was released, people have been like, oh, you're the one that sings in video game soundtracks, so we'll hire you for that.
Hey.
Yeah.
That's really
cool. They just, it worked out. It was kind of like, I use the analogy that I'm the Danny Elfman of that universe, because he was, you know, obviously the singing voice of Jack Skellington, but he was singing as this character. So I was basically singing as this character from River City.
Right on.
Yeah.
Very good analogy. I like that.
He's great too. Danny Elfman's amazing.
Speaking of Danny Elfman, did you hear his album that he put out back in, was it 2021?
I haven't heard it yet. I think I watched one music video on YouTube and I was like, I should bookmark that, but I never went back to it.
It's crazy. Like, it's very chaotic. You know, this album, of course, but also a lot of energy, a lot of chaos. To me, it's very chaotic. There's a lot of like later Oingo Boingo sound it's out there. Like, it's just kind of blows your mind a little bit.
All right. I mean, he's always been sort of out there, so I would expect it to be interesting.
Yeah, I highly recommend checking it out. Very
cool. I will.
Very cool. Well, Megan, I don't want to take up too much more of your time. We've been chatting for a little bit, almost an hour. But is there anything that I have not asked you that you wanted to discuss on this podcast?
I mean, we covered covered some good ground, I think. Yes. Yeah, I mean, talked about video game soundtracks, talked about personal stuff. Yeah, I think we did it.
Fantastic. Well, Megan, again, thank you so much for being on our North 2 podcast for Peak.fm. And it's been a real pleasure chatting with you. And finding out that we are from the same county.
Yeah, it's wild. It's such a small world. Very strange. Love it. Yeah. Thanks again for inviting me. It was a pleasure to be here.
Excellent. Good luck with the renovation. I'm looking Thank forward you. To seeing awesome videos. You know what? Okay. Another question I had for you that I forgot to ask earlier. Okay. I'm a photographer by trade, and I was really impressed with, like, on your main website right now, the big, you know, the main page has this very cool portrait of you, and in this red lighting and this great costuming. Who did the photography for that? It was so cool.
Thank you. Yeah, I love how that shoot came out. That was a collaboration between two different amazing creatives. I have a friend, I don't know if you've seen her work. Her name is Renee Robin. She does incredible photo. I mean, she's a photographer, but then she also does crazy, amazing digital art with her photography. Lots of fantasy and sci-fi. But she lives in Canada, and she couldn't get down here to shoot me, and I couldn't get up there to shoot with her. So I had a local photographer in Tacoma named Evan Kane. He does really beautiful stuff as well. So he shot it. And then Renee kind of did her amazing digital sorcery with it.
Very cool.
Yeah, love that series. I don't know if you saw, it's only on Instagram right now, but we got some pretty cool photos just in my living room here, where I'm a vampire and my hair is like blowing in this red light. I don't know if you've seen that, but
I see that. Yeah.
That was a really on the shoot. Okay. Also just in my living room, we were able to capture some cool moments.
That's so cool. Yeah. It's always just part of the creative process, and, you know, being a photographer, working with other people, it's always fun to collaborate. And even in music, you're always going to come out with something that you didn't expect when you collaborate with artists.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, I love collaborating with other people. Just getting a second brain and a second perspective on things is awesome. Because like you said, you just never know what's going to come of it. Like, they could, usually my collaborators just kind of blow my mind with what they send me. So I'm like, hey, you're a guitarist. You know how a guitarist would lay a melody on this. Please just like do your magic. And it's always just exactly right.
I love when that works out.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right. So, Megan, thanks again for this. It was so fun chatting with you and just getting to know you a little bit. So thank you again. And I'm really looking forward to your new album coming out on August 22nd. And has there been a name picked out for the album yet?
There has, but you'll have to wait until, well, actually, tomorrow I announce what the album is called.
Very cool. Oh, yep. I'm looking forward to it, Megan. Thank you so much.
Awesome. You, yeah, thank you. Bye.